Bricklayer, lighthouse guide, Indigenous researcher, fence fixer, publisher, writer of fiction and non-fiction, baker, sustainable farmer. He could put any of those things on his business card. But still, it is his unearthing and popularising of what white explorers and settlers saw and wrote down that kind of made Bruce Pascoe a national name. Permanent villages, stone dwellings, elaborate fish traps, irrigation systems, the cultivation of vegetables and grains. That is what has made Bruce Pascoe's name. But he's had a remarkable life. It's still ongoing. Others have done that sort of research. No one else has shifted the national conversation around our First Nation people in quite the same way. And he has a new book to talk about. It is called Salt. Bruce, thank you for coming in.
Lovely to be here.
I'll get on to whether or not you shifted the national conversation. What's in the book? Fiction, non-fiction, how do you describe what's in there?
Well, they're stories. There's a lot of fiction. There's some non-fiction, but they're stories too. You know, I learnt from my family that the funniest thing you can do is tell a story. That's what I try and do.
A few things struck me about the book. I'm not sure if I'd read the ones about Andrew Bolton and John Howard, but that tone, having a glass of wine or beer with Bolte, dear John.
Yeah.
Why take that tone when you so disagree with the way they see the world?
I think I could do it if they were willing. Andrew Bolt has refused to appear on a television show with me because he claimed that he knew what I was going to say anyway, so didn't need to do it. But I just always felt that I could sit down with anyone and have a yarn, you know. If they didn't want to talk to me, they didn't want to talk. But, you know, I'd want to talk to Andrew Bolt about his country of origin.
Talk to him about his story.
Yeah. He's a human. I don't agree with him. I think he's been deeply insulting to a lot of people, but I kind of understand how he's driven by the media organisation he belongs to. He has to keep them happy, so he's got to be sensational all the time. I'd love to yarn to him about that.
What drives you? I was trying to work out how long you've been writing for. It's a long time.
50 years.
Right.
I love the truth. I love storytelling. You know, justice. My parents were the two most just people I've ever known. And that drives me. You know, I saw my mother do incredible things for other people. And at the time, it just felt like a nuisance because her attention was always with other people. She was a very loving woman, very loving mother. But she was always distracted by these other demands, and I now know that she was trying to right the world.
What do you mean?
Make it better, you know. My son, when he was about 11, when he was asked that question by somebody else, and I was there, you know, what do you want to do, Jack? And he says, I want to make a difference. This is my boy at 11. I thought, I'll live with that. And he is.
Bruce Pascoe's new collection is called Salt. The other thing I was thinking about, Bruce, rereading your story and your own deepening into and discovery of your Indigenous heritage kind of reminded me a bit of Adam Good's story. It wasn't familiar to me that Adam had to spend time deepening his own understanding of his heritage. How much do you think that's an Australian story?
I think it's very Australian. I think if you looked at my family, you would see it as a kind of a very Australian story that, you know, there's that Aboriginal heritage, there's a Cornish heritage, there's gold mining, there's success, there's failure. All of that is wrapped up in that story. Everyone's family is fascinating. That's what I find. And as a storyteller, that's your strong bow. You know, anyone is going to tell you a great yarn. But, you know, my family is a deeply Australian family with all its afflictions and all its aspirations. Sorry to use a John Howard term there, but everybody wakes up in the morning, wants the best for that day, wants the best for their family. I believe everyone wants that. And so that's where the heart of story is. And I see my family as just really ordinary. I see myself as very ordinary. You know, Adam Goods and I aren't very much alike because I played 520 games and Ian, he played 300. Mine was a slightly lower level.
You don't say.
You know, I just feel a deep affinity with people who come from these confused backgrounds, you know, and almost all Australians have come from a confused background. We're not the shopkeepers of Britain. We've got this mad, chaotic history to us. There's a part of the history we don't acknowledge, but all Australian families have got this bush heritage, and now we're 80% of us are on the seaboard and ignoring, you know, 9/10 of the country. It's a very schizophrenic way to go about your life.
And I wonder too, I assume you're happy to be known mostly by Dark Emu, but the other thing I was reading some of your fiction and just some of the beautiful descriptions of rivers and country that you're writing about. How much do you think that Dark Emu idea has sunk in, that there was, you know, villages and farming and all of those things? How much of that has changed in the public's perception, do you reckon, in, say, the last, I think it's 2014 is Dark Emu? How much has that changed since then?
Well, I think it's been changing for a long time. I think of William Cooper when, I think it was just before Kristallnacht, he marched on the Australian Parliament to object to the treatment of Jewish people. So, you know, when Australia was wondering whether they should intervene or not, wondering whether they should intervene in the massacre of a whole population, an Aboriginal man, William Cooper, decides this is not right. That, I think it's a really proud moment for Australia.
It's an extraordinary moment. And I think he was the only individual to take a letter to a German consulate or embassy. Yeah.
And a great man. And so it's a great moment in Australian history. So you've got William Cooper, you've got Essie Coffey, and you've now got Ali Cobby Eckerman, the writer. You know, all of these people have made this incredible contribution. Stan Grant, Marcia Langton, Larissa Berendt. You know, there's so many giants. Everyone is contributing.
Yes.
To this greater understanding. It's a moment in history, and the reason I'm running around like a hairy goat is because there's this little window. It's never been opened to us before.
So can I ask that question? Because it feels to me like just recently I've watched The Nightingale, which is this extraordinary movie that includes the Indigenous part of Tasmania's history in 1825.
Yeah.
Saw Bangarra this week.
Yeah.
I've read your book. It feels like there's more. It's the Australian Dream, the Stan Grant film about Adam Goods.
Yeah.
So is the it is different now?
I think so. I think it is. I'm very involved in languages and Aboriginal languages, and I say to young language workers, when we're in times when we feel like we're making no progress, I said, 20 years ago, the only Aboriginal language taught in Victoria was Adya Mutna, a South Australian language, you know, and it was taught at one school. And now there are languages being taught, Aboriginal languages, in their district by people who helped resurrect those languages. I said, that's progress. It's enormous progress. And it might feel like you're not getting enough time in the school, that not enough kids are doing it, that there aren't enough resources, that you don't have the people who are doing it aren't being paid enough. All of that's true, but it's happening. And so we've always got to think about what is different. And this is a very different age to any of the others that I've lived through. When I went to school, the teacher's sole contribution to an Aboriginal history of Australia was to get the class to draw a boomerang, not even to draw it, to colour it in. We did that 3 years in a row. Intellectually, you know, that's where my development came from. Nah. And we were told that Aboriginal people had been in Australia for 5,000 years, you know. And now, Point Richey, Warrnambool, 120,000 years. You know, this changes world history. Come on, Australia, be proud. This changes world history. This country, your country, where you live, was generating the introduction of society into the world. We ought to be proud of it, and we ought to acknowledge it and not get all gun-shy, you know, like our older white politicians want us to be. Our white politicians want us to be gun-shy. They don't want us to go there because it's too disturbing for them and mucks up their plan for a deeply capitalist Australia where 1% of the population owns 70% of the land or whatever that equation is. I failed Form 3 arithmetic, you know, but the better angels of our soul can do a lot better than that. And if we rely on those politicians for our way of life and our way of thinking, then we're going to be deeply disappointed and our children will be ashamed of us.
There's a whole range of those sort of thoughts. I call it actually the Bruce Pascoe Digest. It's called Salt, Stories, Essays. You know him, of course, from Dark Emu. Thanks so much for coming in.
Good on you. Lovely to have a yarn.